When we first began Disciples Community Church, somewhere along the line, there was a visitor from the Union Biblical Seminary who used to teach homiletics. He was a professor there for many years. He was from New Zealand. His name is Ian Kemp. A couple of years ago, he had visited he was on a walking stick. And I don't know if anyone remember, he came with David Householder. David Householder is of the fame of, who remembers David Householder's? Yeah, but what was the girl's name? Nope, nobody remembers. Mary Ann. She always wanted to go to Bishop School. In those days, there was only one Bishop School and it was for boys. And Mary Ann always wanted to go to Bishop School. And David Householder used to come and do his ventriloquism. And we used to have great times. But Ian Kemp picked up something that was happening in DCC, which was not happening in most churches. And he had traveled quite widely. And that was every sermon we broke up into small groups and discuss the sermon. And most of us may not remember it. Most of us were not part of that DCC. So what we're doing today is not something new in my approach to how we did church in Disciples Community Church. We're going to have discussion groups during the sermon. Now, this is not going to become a regular habit, but today it's going to be so. But before we break up into disciples, small groups, I want you to be aware that we have some leaflets and that is going to be distributed to you in the groups when you get into groups so that there is not much disturbance. And the outline is in your instep, so you can follow with me as I make these general observations. Besides being an organized church that has produced some leaflets about membership, about policies, we are a registered Christian Trust and Society. Around the mid-80s, we were able to get ourselves registered. When we first started Disciples Community Church, there was a lot of discussion. Is it good for a Christian church to be registered? And John Main and myself, John Main was from Australia, he was of the opinion that we should not be registered because we're a spiritual entity. And I was of the opinion that we must be registered because of two reasons. There might be more, but two very important reasons. One is, everybody who joins Disciples Community Church are going to be Indians. Those who are not Indians will be in and out. Guests. They might be expats, foreigners who are here for a long time or short time. But a local church in Pune would cater mostly to people who are Indian nationals. We need some governmental relationships, otherwise we won't be able to have certificates. We won't be able to do marriages. And we can't really bury anybody. And those kind of social necessities require us to be a registered entity. We also need to subject ourselves to governmental rules. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Whether it's a pro-Christian or an anti-Christian or a neutral government, the Bible orders us this is mandated to us. This is not negotiable. We don't have a choice in this. God demands that we subject ourselves to the government. Is that the word of God? Chapter 13 of Romans. So if the government wants me to have a license to drive a vehicle, what should I do? I must get a license. If the government says you should not only have a license, but you should have insurance, then what should I do? I should have insurance before I drive a vehicle. If the government demands that I do certain things, I should comply with those government requirements. And the government requires us to be registered. The only place where we might disobey the government is when it says, do not follow Jesus Christ or the Bible. Then the law of God supersedes the law of man. But even there we have the example of the early church and the apostles. When they disobeyed the law of the land and they preached the gospel, they were willing to be subjected to the law and be thrown in jail and punished. So I might disobey the law of the land and preach the gospel if the law says don't, but I must be willing to then, under that law which I have broken, face the punishment of that law. There is no authority, says Romans chapter 13, except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So we had that discussion. It took us a long time to frame the memorandum of association and rules and regulations of the Disciples Community Church. It took long because there was a lot of resistance at the leadership level of the at the early days of Disciples Community Church. And finally, we did register. And we are a registered public trust and society. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16 and see that Jesus very, very categorically stated that he builds his church. We have the record in Matthew chapter 16 where in verse 13 and following, he came to the district of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? The key question Jesus is asking is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And finally, when Jesus pointedly said, who do you say that I am? At the end of verse 15, Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, there is a lot in that statement, which I'm not going to take time to expound. But in recognizing who Jesus is, and the following verse, Jesus says, flesh and blood, you have not been able to discover who I am except that God the Father helped you by revelation knowledge to understand who I am. On this rock I will build my church. That's verse 18. We have no human authority upon which the church is built. The church is built upon Jesus, and he is the one who builds his church. And when Jesus builds his church, not my church, not your church, even hell cannot withstand the church. The church will last forever.
Amen. The church is eternal. Did you know that? The church will be eternal like God is eternal, except that it didn't have a beginning. An eternal beginning. It had a beginning in time. God didn't have a beginning in his eternality. So the only difference between the eternalness of the church and God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is that God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had no beginning. The church had. Jesus builds his church. The church started in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit of God came and baptized everybody into the body. And those who were baptized because they believed, and subsequent to faith in Christ, they were baptized, they joined the church. Now, I must say something about baptism. Very often, and I'm not here to get at anybody, but I want to be categorical and unapologetic. If you study the Bible, baptism is important. Not for salvation, right? Baptism has no intrinsic value in salvation. But it is absolutely important. If you are saved, you are to be baptized. Amen? And how soon? As soon as you believe. There is no room in the Bible to believe that you can postpone yourself, your baptism. What a baptism. And even though we say it has no value to make us spiritual, obedience has a lot of value to make us spiritual. Amen? Obedience is the issue. And you have to realize that no church normally takes anyone into official membership if you're not water baptized. Is that true? And we have had a practice in Christendom of saying we should teach people before we baptize them. That is also not in the Bible. We should baptize people as soon as they are saved. Baptism has no guarantee for church membership, but church membership is dependent on water baptism. Why? Because it goes even beyond obedience to an instituted sacrament of the church. It's an important part of church life, as much as Holy Communion. Now, having said that, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I hope you realize that chapter 13, 14, 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians deals with a lot of misunderstanding in the Corinthian church about how to be a church and serve in the church. Three chapters, chapter 12, 13, and 14. And so when we look at chapter 14, it's all part of corrective teaching. And there's a lot about the spiritual gifts, including tongues and prophesying and word of knowledge and all those things. But when we come to verse 26 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, these are the words the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit of God, records. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. Please underline, let all things be done for building up. If there's anything in the church, even announcements, it should be for building up. If you're singing a special number, what is it for? For building up. If you're preaching, what is it for? building up. Anything to be done in the local church should be for edification. My friend who is now in heaven, Steve Fernandez, he was founder, pastor of Community Bible Church in Vallejo, Northern California. He told me, he said, you know, I started thinking, how does taking an offering, passing a bag around, build up? Throw it out. We just kept a box. If anyone wants to give offering, give an offering. We don't even announce the offering. Then I began to think, how does wasting 5, 10, 15 minutes standing there and making announcements, which are already in the bulletin, build up? Throw it out. If things don't build up, throw it out. Are we willing to be that radical? Do nothing when you meet together which doesn't spiritually build up one another. Even the precious things like a sermon or the communion service or anything we do in the church, they must be motivated with the desire to do what? Let me hear you say it. To build up. Build up who? See, I can preach and build my ego up. Right? I can sing for my own edification. You know, there are people in churches that fight to take the offering. I grew up in a church like that. I have never been asked. I've been in this church for so long. Nobody ever asked me to take the offering. And I was thinking, even as a child, growing up in a church, why are they fighting about taking an offering? They used to fight about preaching. They used to fight about everything. He's given a chance to sing. I've never been asked to sing. We can be pretty self-motivated. Nothing should be done except for building others up, not myself, others up. We can take this verse, let all be things be done to build up. Yeah, I'm building up myself. No way. Are we all agreed about this? Hey, we are not doing us a favor by agreeing with what the Bible teaches us. We are obligated to do what the scriptures say. Let all things be done for building up. We're back in the text. Verse 27, if anyone speak a tongue, let there be only two or at the most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. Why? Otherwise, in those days when tongues was there, if no one interpreted, it didn't build up. If there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and to God somewhere else or in the church. But don't speak out if it doesn't build up. Verse 28, let two or three prophets speak and let the others weigh what is said. Did you understand that? When someone speaks, let others weigh means what? Examine. Evaluate. Then don't gossip with each other about it. Go to the person and speak to the person, saying, you said something, it didn't sound just right biblically. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let it, the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and all be encouraged. That the spirits of the prophets are, look at those words, the spirits of the prophets are not uncontrolled. You cannot say the Spirit of God came on me and I couldn't help myself. I had to speak. No way. The spirit of the prophets are subject to prophets. Underline the next statement. For God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. That text really means God is a God of discipline, order, systems. And we are so habituated to being free. Democracy. God brought order into the churches, as in all the churches of the saints. Please underline that. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches. This is universally needed. We're not dealing with women today, but some other time. So we're now going to break up into groups. There's a lot in the Bible that tells us to be orderly, to be systems oriented. Systems, okay? Not just systematic, but systems. There has to be systems. And I have given you 6 questions to go through. So all the ones come this side, all the 2s there. So you can just get up if you're number 1 and come here. If you're number 2, come here. Number 3 over there and number 4 over there. And we've got 30 minutes. And the 4 leaders that I've already designated will come and give you those sheets. Everyone will have sheets. Get your chairs and sit in a circle, please. Sit in a circle. No 2. You don't sit one behind the other. Make a circle so that everyone is in one circle. And as you sit down, let me continue to say a few words. As I oversee from here that you are forming into circles so that there's no second row. We don't want any second row. You will be given 3 pieces of paper as you sit in one circle as quickly as possible. By the time you start, it's going to be 12:10. Everyone can hear me, right? It's going to be 12:10 by the time you start. So you're going to break off at 12:40 and get back to the main group. Please get into a good circle. And don't forget your numbers. 1s and 2s are in the front here. 3 and 4 are the back. I think number 3 has become mixed up with 2s and 1s. There's something wrong with the group where Aaron is. Just count how many are there. Vishal and Aaron, can you all come here? No, come here and count your group. Saju, you be there, and Prashant there. If you sit down in your place, then give me a count. How many here? Why don't you take your place? In a circle, Samuel inside. Vishal, can you sit? No. Aaron is here, Prashant is there. How many do you have? And 12. So, 2 need to go there. Now the basic reason, how many do you have here? How many there? Aaron? How many do you have, Vishal? Okay. Now, can you all listen to me for a moment? This exercise is primarily because there are a lot of people who are from non-Christian homes, or you all are new to Christian church, and also new to maybe an organized system, I need to let you know that most of these things were written down in the early years of Disciples Community Church. So it's not newly invented. All right. So over to the groups till 12:40. Enjoy yourselves. Before we close the service, I hope some of you for the first time were introduced to all these papers. I hope you recognize that some of these papers were given to most of you before. Maybe some of you never read through those papers. Part of the reason we had this exercise today was so that you can see that there are lots of things written down for us so that we stay on track, right? Now, is there anyone who wants to stand up and say something from what you discovered? Yes, Mona. Then they will be received again. If you repent 70 times 7, you will be received again. That is mandated by the church. Good question. Anybody want to say anything? That you were surprised what you discovered? Or you're happy that you learned something about DCC? Or you have a question? Anybody? Now, I hope all of you recognize that DCC has organizational systems, and we want to have everybody in the know of things, even if you're not signed up. I hope after the service, some of you will say, hurry up and sign us up, and we'll go through the process. We want everyone to be active, responsible, accountable, and what's the fourth word? And we want everyone to be really walking with God circumspectly. Amen. And what is put on paper is usually not changeable. It's not arbitrary. This is not a one-man show. It's not someone subjectively decides to do something and then you can't come and say, can you adjust for me? Because those things have been put down after careful thought. In the early years, when we didn't have things written down, we used to have to think on our feet. When someone wanted something, like a funeral, someone would die on us. And we would have a struggle because there are signed up members somewhere, but they've been attending DCC for years. And eventually, the person died, and it happened. And there were people putting a lot of pressure on me, because I'm the so-called pastor, you must do the burial here, because he used to come to us, he's ours. And I said, what are we going to fight with the body, when St. Mary's Church says he is ours? And the Armed Forces Medical College, military, was all in full swing, taking charge. And I had to say, lay off. Let St. Mary's do it. and the military do it. No, you're losing an opportunity to witness for Christ. So we put down a system. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we need to know how to function as a local body. It's not just individuals, we are a group, and we have to do what is right in the sight of also the government. Turn in your Bibles as we wrap up to Ephesians chapter 2. Now that you're in the know of systems and rules and regulations, and you've got it and you can read it and look at the questions again at your own pace, at your own leisure, and become a responsible DCCer. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11 to the end, it says, Therefore, remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision. Jewish people called non-Jewish people uncircumcised. And it was a derogatory term. You're Gentiles. You are not the chosen people. Remember, this is the second time in this passage the word remember is there. First in verse 11. Remember, what were we? We were the cast out people. We were the despised people. Remember that. We were not respectable. And don't have an ego trip about it. They were specially chosen people, and they were the not chosen people. And Paul is saying, remember, you were not acceptable. Secondly, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. Worse than being untouchables. You get it? Worse than being untouchables by those who thought they were specially chosen people of God. The second remember is you were separated from Christ. You did not even know Christ. Alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise. You know this word alienated. You will only know when you go to a foreign land and lose your passport. I did last week. Fortunately, I lost it in Myanmar, not in the United States. It would be worse in the United States. Because the people in Myanmar are very friendly. And the Indian embassy is doubly friendly. Where else in the world would the Indian deputy consul sit with me as if he was my old friend? But you suddenly realize you're lost. Alien means lost. And the Indian government, represented by the deputy consul, was asking me, how will you get out of this country? Even if I bend over backwards and help you, how can you get out? This is Myanmar. I said, I know it is Myanmar. And I have friends in Myanmar. And I'll be able to move out. But more than that, I have the Lord. But it can be a scary experience, right? You are not identifiable because you don't have an identity. And we don't realize that, but the Bible calls us to remember. We were separated from Christ, alienated from Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, declarations by God, which He doesn't break. He made promises to Abraham, to Noah, to Adam. And we had no hope without God in this world. That is a very dark situation. Remember that. Brothers and sisters in DCC, we tend to forget these two things. That we were not respectable people. As far as God's economy is concerned and God's kingdom is concerned, we were not part of His chosen group. And we were far away from Christ. And we had no hope. But we now have, look at verse 13. But now in Christ, you who were once far away have been drawn near by the blood of Jesus. Why did He die? He outstretched His arms to draw us near to Himself. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one, Jewish as well as Gentiles, and broken down in His body the dividing wall of enmity, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the enmity. Look at the scriptures and drink it in. And He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, the family of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. God lives amongst us. Did you realize that? God lives here. When we meet together, God lives here. God is here. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that not only have You drawn us near, You live amongst us. We are Your people, Your dwelling place, a holy temple, the church of Your Son, His bride. And we give You thanks for this. In Jesus' name. Amen.